this month, the theme, the global theme, is transformation and evolution. I think I saw that in your bulletin as well. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, that was created at least six months ago. They chose that theme, right? I mean, it may have even been longer than that. And yet, I just can't believe how perfect it is for today. Today, as we look at our country and our world, change is afoot, right? We are in the process of transformation and evolution more than ever. You know, I think it's just very clear that there is something new trying to emerge right now. And that we, I think, are being called ever more deeply to step into participation in that change. And, you know, it's kind of scary sometimes, but it's not bad. Because change is constant. You've noticed this? My gray hair tells me, yes, change is constant. You know, everything is in continuous movement, always. Ernest Holmes says, nature will not let us stay in one place too long. She will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and the advancement of our soul. The advancement of our soul, that's what's going on right now, right? It's spirit always seeking a greater expression of itself in all ways, all ways. And I believe the greater expression being called forward right now is a greater love. We're just being called to a greater love, a greater sense of love. And we know that love is transformational, that it's a powerful energy that shifts vibrations, that reorders events, dissolves fear. It's a powerful, powerful energy. And so that's what I want to talk about today is love in action. And love in action is really what compassion is all about. The power of compassion is love in action. The two go together. They're absolutely intertwined. Love activates compassion, calls it forth. And compassion is the outpicturing of love. Same coin, right? And both are natural impulses. You know, when we look through the eyes of love, someone in pain, we are absolutely called to help, right? To respond. That's what compassion is. That's what compassion is. You know, the word is Latin. In Latin, it's to suffer with, is how it's described. But I like the definition of Rashi Joan Halifax because it's just so simple and clear. She calls compassion the capacity to be attentive to the experience of others, to wish the best for others, and to sense what will truly serve others. I mean, it's just simple, just very direct. It's all about allowing us, the way I like to see it, is it just maybe operating in a little bit more skillful way, being a little bit more tender for the people around us. And it's not just about them. It's also us. Compassion helps us incredibly. I was looking at some studies that show acts of compassion reduce the amount of stress that we hold in our bodies. It promotes physical and emotional well-being, and here's what I like, it even improves our brain function. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but who couldn't use a little better brain function right now? So why wouldn't we want to grow our experience of compassion, right? I mean, it's right here in front of us. At my center in San Diego, we created a compassionate care ministry, and it's similar to the pastoral care that you find in centers, but a little bit different. Its mission is to grow compassion, care, and connection through loving support and service of each other. And the difference is it recognizes that we are all part of that process. We are all part of that care and connection. It's not just the special people, the practitioners and the ministers, right? I mean, it's every single person is part of the compassionate care ministry and taking ownership of it, because it recognizes that within each one of us is this compassionate heart that beats, that lives, that breathes as us. Because that's what spirit is, right? And so within each of you is that same compassionate heart that can be shared and given. You know, compassion is not just a feeling. It's a consciousness. It's an attitude. And most importantly, it's a practice. It's what we do. We have to do with it. And sometimes it needs to be encouraged and activated within us because we forget. We just do. And that's what each of us get to do, is to remind each other. I feel so much. That's what I'm doing today with my talk, because you all are so clearly loving and joyful and giving. And yet I bet there are times you need to be reminded to just tap into that compassionate heart. So think of that. That's all I'm doing today, is just reminding you what you already know. So we're here to build that individually and collectively, a compassionate consciousness. That's what I like to call it. It's a full consciousness around compassion. And I think, again, that's what the world is calling for right now, is an up-leveling of that. It's about widening our view of ourselves and each other through a lens of compassion. And I find there are three principles that are just kind of foundations to this idea of compassionate consciousness. The first one is just basic, that our very presence makes a difference in the lives of others. Our very presence makes a difference to those around us. That each person is and plays a unique and important part in the whole of life, in the whole of life. That just by being here, you're making a difference to the people around you. Your energy, your intention, your desire to just share this experience of Sunday service, right? It makes a difference. You matter. Sometimes we need to remember that. It's easy to just kind of feast small and I'll let everybody. I matter. The second principle is recognizing that each person has unique and distinctive gifts to share, right? We're each, because we have unique experiences, they give us these wonderful gifts that we can share each other. And these are gifts not just of our successes, but also of our failures. Not just of our joys, but also our heartbreaks, our innate talents, as well as those that we've developed, the expertises. All the experiences of our lifetime up until this moment, these are gifts that can be shared. All right? So you make a difference, you have gifts to share. Third piece to cultivating compassionate consciousness is to recognize that each person has a growing edge, always has a growing edge in some area of their life, right? There's always a part of us that's in process. It's the human condition, right? Maybe it's struggling just needs to be a little more fully expressed. Maybe it's a challenge of health or finances, relationship, work. Our lives have numerous facets, and at any one moment, they may not all be in perfect balance, right? That's the third fact that we know, right? So compassionate consciousness as a whole, holding those three in mind, it connects us to both our strengths as well as our weaknesses, to our gifts as well as our challenges, And through the lens of compassion, we're reminded of the places that we're suffering, we're struggling, the places we're in need, and so we move to a receptive place because we are here to receive from those around us. And then it also reminds us that all of the wisdom and the strength that we've gained are gifts that we are here to share for others. It's the divine appointment that we talk about, right? The giving, the receiving, the yin and yang, the divine balance of things. I was thinking of an example, and okay, so just imagine you're sitting there, and you're currently in crisis in a relationship, maybe on the edge of a breakup or something, you know, and you're feeling scared and you're feeling uncertain, you're not sure what to do next. And also, just recently, you've overcome a major health challenge, and you've really gained some insights and a shift of perspective from that. Now imagine the person sitting next to you has just been diagnosed with that same health challenge, and they're scared and uncertain and don't know what to do. And they've also just recently up-leveled their relationship. That is, they've just come through a real dark time together, and they're even more bonded and beautiful, and they feel so supported and very lucky and have wonderful insights of that journey. And they don't talk to each other. They don't share their authentic self. They may go, "How are you doing today?" "Oh, fine, fine. I'm just great. Yeah, everything's fine. I'm hanging in there, da, da, da." Right? Well, you know, both people lose, right? The wisdom, the experience is held back. The needs are unmet. The divine appointment, you know, it's broken. The opportunity for growth, lost. Because here's the thing, we have to show our vulnerability in order for compassionate consciousness to come alive, right? And sometimes that is just the hardest thing to do, to admit a need, right? We're great about helping others, not so much admitting how we might need something. Brené Brown, in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, says, "We equate success with not needing anyone. We're willing to extend a helping hand, but reluctant to reach out for help when we need it ourselves. It's as if we've divided the world into those who offer help and those who need help. And the truth is, we are both." Right? Yeah. Right. We're givers and receivers at the same time. In the same moment, we can give and receive. It is, again, the human condition. And yet we're so reluctant to admit our vulnerabilities, that the areas that may not be so fully developed, you know, the places that don't match that idealized picture that we like to hold of ourselves, right? But because of that, we're cutting ourselves off from that compassionate heart, from our own compassion. We're really severing ourselves from spirit. So what if instead of that casual, "How you doing?" "Okay, fine," you know, and moving on, what if we really connected with each other? What if our conversation included questions like, "What are you struggling with these days?" Because you know everyone's struggling with something. That's not such a strange question. Or, "What are your recent wins? How have you succeeded? I want to hear that," right? And we're asking not to fix, but just to share, just to say, "You are important. I want to hear how your life is." That's what a compassionate consciousness brings. And we get to be then the compassionate presence for each other. Pema Chodron, the Buddhist nun, teacher, author, guru, she talks about how compassion draws from the wholeness of our experiences. I love that, the wholeness of our experiences, right? The good, the bad, the light, the dark. She says, compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It's a relationship between equals. Only when we know our own darkness well can we be present in the darkness of others. Compassion becomes real when we recognize our shared humanity. We have to recognize we are all part of that whole together. And in other words, our darkness, that's what allows us to be the light for others. So it's not something to be shunned or avoided or ignored. It's actually the gift that we can give to others. It's like the Rumi quote, "Don't turn away, keep your gaze on the bandaged place. That's where the light enters you." Mm-hmm. Our wounds are where the light can emerge to connect with others. Then there are wounds of, you know, disappointments or betrayals or grief or pain, loss, change, all of these things. These are wounds we carry, and they're also our greatest gift. Our greatest gift. They're wounds of divinity. I love that term. That comes from Lionel Corbett in The New Myth of God. And he talks about how when in the Bible, remember, Jesus was walking with his apostles. This is after the resurrection. And his disciples did not recognize him. Even though they're talking to him, they didn't recognize him. And then the Bible says, then they knew him through his wound. Right? And remember, doubting Thomas had to touch the wound in order to believe. Well, Corbett says it's a metaphor for the mystical truth that our wounds are our identity. They are the symbol of our divinity. All right? So you have to kind of catch that. The wounds are our identity. They're a symbol of our divinity. And what that means to me is that, you know, our wounds are our greatest source of strength and wisdom. They help make us who we are. It's through going through our challenges that we develop the muscles of resiliency and become capable and loving, that they open our hearts. They forge, in many ways, our identity of who we are in the world in a wonderful way, because they reflect back to us the deepest truth, which is our divinity. You know, the Japanese often mend broken cups and bowls by putting gold in the cracks. It makes them stronger, and of course it makes them so much more beautiful. But it's a great example of their cultural belief and philosophy that when something suffers damage and has a history, it becomes more beautiful. Right? And that's what we're talking about. We are more beautiful because of the struggles and the challenges and the hurts and the wounds that we've been through. So our limitations, our darkness, they serve ourselves and others. They are the keys to compassion and empathy. Right? So even if you all agree with this and you recognize that, you know, the wounds serve us, who is actually signing up for more? Me either. Right? I mean, who's still afraid of the pain? Yeah, right? But here's the thing. It's facing our fears is how we cultivate compassionate consciousness. That's how we build the muscle. The muscle of compassion is by facing our fears. Pema Chodron, again, in her book, The Places That Scare You, she says, when we practice generating compassion, we can expect to experience the fear of our pain. Compassionate practice is daring. It involves learning to relax and allow ourselves to move gently toward what scares us. Okay. relax, and allow ourselves to move gently toward what scares us. That's the work of compassion. That's the work of growth, to move forward. I heard a story once about the work crews that install telephone poles. And it can be very dangerous work, because if you don't set it right, these huge poles, you know, will topple, and they can kill people and destroy things. So one of the installers who had been working for years there was teaching a young man how to do this, and he asked him, "So what would you do if you saw the pole wobbling and about to fall?" And the young man said, "I'd run the other way as fast as I could, of course." And the veteran said, no, what you do is run toward it. You place your hands on it, not to control it, but that's the place where you can feel the way that it's leaning, so you're on the other side of it. Right? It makes so much sense, very wise. And the same instructions go for compassion. Right? We need to move toward the pain, to hold it in our hands. Because it's in the heart of pain that we are most safe, because we know then how to get around it, right? We know how to get on the other side of it when we hold it. Okay, everybody breathe. I certainly need it, obviously. We're talking pain, we're talking wounds. Okay, let's have a little compassion for ourselves. Ernest Holmes wrote this: "Compassion is the most gentle of human virtues, for it is the outpouring of the divine givingness through us." Right? It is a gentle human virtue where divine givingness pours out onto us. And he goes on to say, "Compassion and caring are the ties that bind us together in mutual understanding and in the unified attempt to uncover the divinity in each other." So compassion is the unified attempt to uncover the divinity in each other, right? To be reminded. And I do believe that is our task. That's it. That's what we're here for. Both our personal mission, as well as the ultimate purpose of humanity, just simply to uncover the divinity in each other in its full form. It reminds me of the creation story of the Kabbalah. That's the mystical tradition of Judaism. And I love how they describe the birth of the world. They say, in the beginning, there is only God, or infinity, as they call it, existing in holy darkness. And creation began when God withdrew itself in all directions, and what resulted was a void or a vacuum. And then God channeled itself as a ray of light into the void, the light of wholeness. Okay? But because the light was so intense, it needed to be filtered through what they call various vessels. I always pictured these huge crystal vases, you know, that reflect but filter the light. And the story goes that some of those vessels could not withstand the power of the light, and they shattered. And although some of the lights returned back to its infinite source, some of the sparks and shards of the shattered vessels became trapped here in material existence, deeply hidden in everything. And the Kabbalists say the task of humanity is to liberate those sparks of light and restore them to divinity. Right? To liberate that. So, in other words, the world is fractured, and God needs us to mend it. And we do that by uncovering the sparks of the divine that lie scattered everywhere. So the human race would be here to reveal and restore the wholeness of the world. And it's a collective task, healing the world back to its original wholeness. And how do we do that? It is accomplished through our actions of compassion and love. All comes back to that. We are all here as healers for each other, simply sharing opportunities to support and love. And through the power of compassion, we transform the world and heal it back to its wholeness. So, okay, just take that in. We are healers of the world. In fact, say that. We are healers of the world. Yes. Yes. Yes, we are. And we need to step into that, and we can step into that, and we are meant to step into that, to be that larger, compassionate heart for each other. Ernest Holmes described compassionate living this way. Suppose we make a daily habit of feeling like we like people and they like us. Just suppose that we belong to them and they belong to us. In a very real sense, everyone we meet is part of our own family to love and to enjoy. Right? So, what do you think? Is that doable? Right? Can you like people? Yeah. I can do that. Yeah. Can you know that we belong to each other and recognize we are part of a divine family together? And that's what compassionate living is all about. It's really that simple, to just be fully engaged with the compassionate heart. So I'd like to invite you to make that practice real for yourself in your life. That is my invitation to you. And you know what? You can start right here today. Just look at the people around you as your compassion practice partners. You'll practice on each other. How's that? All it takes is stepping forward and to look for ways to share your gifts, your talents, your skills, the gifts you were born of, your wounds as well, your experiences, your hard-won wisdom. Because remember, someone is here by divine appointment to receive from you, right? And don't forget the other side of the equation. Don't hesitate to share your struggles, to ask for help or guidance in your growing edges, places where you might be a little out of balance today. Remember, there's someone here that's looking to share their gifts with you. And so it's important to be open to receive. Open to receive. So I just encourage you to jump on into the circle of compassionate living and just open wide to the transforming power of compassion. Thank you very much.